Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the sixth episode of the 18th topic. As you would recall, the 18th topic relates to the isnad of the seven canonical readings. We have discussed the readings of three major reciters of the Quran, three of these seven reciters of the Quran. The first one was Nafi ibn Abi Nu'aym. The second was Abdullah ibn Kasir. The third was Asim ibn Abi Najud. Today we shall take up discussion on the fourth reciter amongst these seven, and he is Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat. Now, Ibn Wahban in his Hasin al-Akhbar says that Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat was born in 80 Hijra in Kufa. So this is his approximate era when he was born. And we also know that he died in 156 Hijra. So this you can see the second century is primarily the era in which he lived in Kufa, and he's therefore classified as a Kufan Qari. Now, Zahabi in his Marifat al-Qurra al-Kibar says that he was a hafiz of hadith and an authority on the laws of inheritance and a competent scholar of Arabic, and he was devoutly religious. So this is just a brief information about his biography. And now, as our custom is, we shall take up the teachers of Hamza and see whether they can be established or not, and similarly teachers of Hamza's teachers as well. Now, let us first take up the teachers which have been supported by isnad content, and then we shall also look at his teachers which have been reported by non-isnad content. So as far as the isnad-based content is concerned, the teachers which have been reported are being displayed before you on the screen. So we have Abu Ishaq al-Sabiri. In the second place, we have Humran ibn Aryun. And then we have Mansur ibn al-Mu'tamir. In the fourth place, we have Mughira ibn Miksum. In the fifth place, we have Al-Lays ibn Abi Sulaim. And in the sixth place, we have Suleiman ibn Mihran al-Amash. In the seventh place, we have Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Layla. And then in the eighth place, we have Jafar ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali. So these are the eight teachers who have been reported by isnad-based content, or through isnad-based content. We have narratives which record them to be the teachers of Hamza. There is one teacher who has been reported without any isnad-based content, and he is Talha ibn Musarrif. Now, as far as Talha is concerned, there is a contradiction. Before I take up the isnad-based teachers, let me just give you a brief comment on this non-isnad-based teacher, who is Talha ibn Musarrif. So, as far as he is concerned, there is a contradiction found in Ibn al-Jazri's Ghayatul Nihaya. So, he says that whereas in his entry on Hamza, he has regarded Talha to be one of his Quran teachers, in his entry on Talha ibn Musarrif, he does not regard Hamza to be one of his Quran teachers. So in one of the entries, he does have this report, but in the entry in which he actually mentions Talha ibn Musarrif, he does not regard Hamza or does not record Hamza to be his teacher. Now, on the other hand, Ibn Abi Layla, he regards Ibn Abi Layla to be his student and Hamza to be a Quran student of Ibn Abi Layla. So this is a point to note that Zahabi regards Ibn Abi Layla to be his student and Hamza to be a Quran student of Ibn Abi Layla. So there is a step in between. So it seems that he has erroneously regarded Talha to be Hamza's teachers if the details furnished by Dani are also considered. So according to Dani, Al-Talha is not the Quran teacher of Hamza. He is actually the Quran teacher of Hamza's Quran teacher, Ibn Abi Layla. So Talha ibn Musarrif is not the teacher of Hamza himself. If we take up all this information, it seems that he is the teacher of Ibn Abi Layla, who is a teacher of Hamza. So basically, Talha is the teacher of Ibn Abi Layla. So this was just a point of note that I wanted to mention before you, and it is a point to be noted. Now, as is our tradition and custom, I shall take up the isnad-based teachers of Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat. So let us first take Al-Amash and Ibn Abi Layla together, because they have been mentioned in narratives, in the same narrative. So let's take up Amash and Ibn Abi Layla. So as far as Amash and Ibn Abi Layla are concerned, the first narrative, viewers, is now being displayed before you. This first narrative is recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jamul Bayan fil Qirat al-Sab' al-Mashura. And I'm going to just read out the text before you. It says, "An Sulaym ibn Isa qal, qara Hamza al-A'mash wa ibn Abi Layla. Fama kana min qira'at al-A'mash fahiya an ibn Masud. Wa ma kana min qira'ati Ibn Abi Layla, Fahiya an Ali radiallahu anhu. As you can see, there is this small sentence within parentheses, within brackets, and that has been inserted in view of taking in some information from the very next narrative. So that has, this is an insertion. So it says, قَالَ خَلَفْ وَلَمْ يُخَالِفْ حَمْزَ عَنِ الْعَامَشْ فِي مَا وَافَقَ قِرَاةَ زَيْدَ بْنِ السَّابِدْ إِلَّا فِي حُرُوفٍ يَسِيرًا قَالَ خَلَفْ وَسَّمِعْتُ غَيْرَ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِنَا يَذْكُرُونَ أَنَّ الْأَعْمَشْ قَرَأَ عَلَى يَحْيَى بْنِ وَسَّاوَ وَأَنَّ يَحْيَى قَرَأَ عَلَى عُبَيْدِ بْنِ نُزَيْلَةَ وَأَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنْ خِيَارِ أَصْحَابِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ فَذَكَرَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَنَّ يَحْيَى قَرَأَ عَلَى أَلْقَمَ بْنِ قَيْسٍ وَالْأَسْوَدِ بْنِ يَزِيدَ وَمَسْرُوقَ بْنِ الْأَجْزَعِ. So Sulaym ibn Isa said, Hamza read out the Quran to Al-Amash and Ibn Abi Layla. So what he read from Al-Amash was from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and from what he read from Ibn Abi Layla was from Ali. Khalaf ibn Hisham said, Hamza did not differ from Al-Amash where Al-Amash was in conformity with Zayd ibn Sabit, except in a few recitals. I have heard many of my companions say that Al-Amash read out to Yahya ibn Wassab, and that Yahya ibn Wassab read out to Ubayd ibn Nuzaylah, and that he was among the best of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud's companions. Some of my companions also said that Yahya ibn Wassab also read out to Al-Qaban ibn Qais and Al-Aswad ibn Yazid and Masruq ibn Al-Ajdar. So this is the first of these narratives, and you can see that Ibn Abi Layla and Al-Amash are being depicted in this narrative to be the teachers of Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyad. Now, you can see its chain of narration or schematic illustration being displayed before you. The problem with this chain of narration, viewers, is the personality of Sulaym ibn Abi Isa ibn Sulaym. So Sulaym ibn Isa ibn Sulaym is his actual name. So he is a suspect narrator. So Bukhari and Ibn Abi Hatim mention him without any tawseek. So both Bukhari and Ibn Abi Hatim do not mention him in any tawseek. Of course, when I speak of Bukhari, I refer to his At-Tarikh al-Kabir. And as far as Ibn Abi Hatim is concerned, I refer to his Al-Jarh wa Ta'dil. Now, Abu Ja'far al-Uqayli expresses some facts about him as well. And he says, Majhulun fil naql hadithuhu munkar, ghayr mahfuz. So this is a pretty strong Jarh as well. Safadi says that, in fact, Safadi and Ibn al-Jazari also mention him without any tawseek in their, whenever they mention him in their biographical accounts. And when I say Safadi, I obviously refer to his book, Wafi Bil Wafayat. As far as Zahabi is concerned, in three of his books, now I'm going to name these three of books, Marifat al-Qurra' al-Kibar, Tariq al-Islam, and Sir Alam al-Nubala, he has not recorded any tawseek on Sulaym. So in these three books, he has not recorded any sort of tawseek. However, in his fourth book, which is Mizan al-Itidal, Zahabi first cites the critique of al-Uqayli, which I have just read out before you. He says, Majhulun fi naql, hadithuhu munkar, ghayr mafuz. So this he cites and then says that perhaps al-Uqayli is referring to some other Sulaym. After citing this critique by Uqayli, he says that perhaps it is some other Sulaym. But then in his Mughni, Zahabi, on the other hand, after citing the critique of Uqayli, remarks about Sulaym, Imamun fil Qiraat, Ja'izun fil Hadith. Now, this shows that in this book, his opinion is that the two are the same. So although in Mizan al-Itidal, he thinks that the Sulaym that he has been mentioned as referred to by Uqayli is different, but when he speaks in his Mughni, the words they speak for themselves. He says, Imamun fil Qiraat, which obviously could only have been spoken for someone who is a Qari, as Sulaym is alleged to be. Now, Ibn Habban does mention Sulaym ibn Isa in his As-Siqat. However, the jar on him, which I have cited earlier, I think outweighs the tawseek of Ibn Habban, given the fact that he is also very liberal in his tawseek. And it also overrides the weak nature of Zahabi's tawseek, because his words are Ja'izun fil Hadith. And I would say this because in the three of his books, he has not mentioned any tawseek neither any tawseek, in fact, nor any jar on Sulaym. Also, viewers, No Tawseek is available on Muhammad ibn Makhlad, who is called Ibn Abi Makhlad. And he, you can see that his name is being indicated before you by an arrow. Therefore, viewers, I would consign him in my, according to our principle, that the person who, about whom we do not have any positive information, whether he is reliable or not, we shall not regard him to be trustworthy and consign him to the majhul category. Now, it also may be noted that Ibn al-Jazari mentions him as an entry, but Zahabi does not list him as an independent entry in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra al-Kubar. So Ibn al-Jazari in his Ghayat al-Nihaya does mention him as a separate entry, but this is not the case with Zahabi's Ma'rifat al-Qurra al-Kubar. So next, viewers, the third person under discussion is Abu Tahir Muhammad ibn al-Hasan ibn Ali. As you can see that his name is being indicated before you. Here also the situation is the same. We do not find any tawseek on him. And hence we have to regard him to be a suspect person. It may be noted that both Zahabi and Ibn al-Jazari mention him as an entry in their respective books. So this is something that has to be conceded. But as I said, the problem is that there is no tawseek available about him. Now, the another problem with this narration of yours is that Sulaim is likely to be transmitting information in to which he's not contemporaneous. And this includes the fact that Hamza read from Asim, whatever Hamza read from Asim was from Ibn Masud, and whatever Hamza read from Ibn Abi Layla was from Ali. So the question is, how did the information reach him about the teachers of his teachers, and he does not seem to be contemporaneous with him. Also, viewers, the information by Khalaf does not specify his informants and his informants regarding the teachers of Hamza and of Al-Amash and so on. So you can clearly see that the information which Khalaf gives regarding the teachers of Amash they cannot be contemporaneous to Khalaf himself because of his distance in era. Now, let us move on to the next narrative in this regard. And this narrative has also been reported by Dani in his Jami' al-Bayan fi Qira'at al-Sab' al-Mashhura. So, it says, An Khalaf an Sulaim qal, Qara Hamza ala Sulaiman ibn Mihran wa ibn Abi Layla. Qara Hamza ala Sulaiman ibn Mihran wa ibn Abi Layla. Fama kana min Qira'at al-A'mash fahuwa an ibn Masud. Wama kana min Qira'at ibn Abi Layla fahuwa an Ali. علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه ولم يخالف حمزة العامش فيما وافق قراءة زيد بن ثابت التي جمع عثمان الناس عليها إلا في أحرف يسيرة. The Sulaim ibn Isa said, Hamza read out the Quran to Al-Amash and Ibn Abi Layla. So what he read out from Al-Amash was from Abdullah bin Masood, and what he read out from Ibn Abi Layla was from Ali. Hamza did not differ from Al-Amash where Al-Amash was in conformity with Zayd ibn Sabit. So as far, whenever Zayd ibn Sabit was in conformity with him, with Al-Amash, Hamza did not differ from Al-Amash. And then the narrative says that this is the same reading on which Usman gathered people on. So, but the fact is he did differ with him in a few recitals. The words are, illa fi ahrufin yasira. So except in a few recitals, he did so. Now, you can see its chart being displayed before you, the schematic illustration of this narrative being displayed before you. Now, the problem here is that there's no tawseek available on Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Ali al-Katib. You can see that his name is being indicated by an arrow. And therefore, viewers, I shall confine him or consign him to the majhul category. It may be noted that both Zahabi and Ibn al-Jazari mention him as an entry. So, the fact is that he is mentioned as an entry, information is given about him, but there is no tawseek, there is no positive information whether he should be regarded as reliable or not. So this is as far as Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Ali al-Katib is concerned. Another problem, viewers, and I've just discussed that, is the personality of Sulaim ibn Isa ibn Sulaim. We have already just discussed the jar on him in the previous narrative, and he also figures in this narrative, and hence this is something which makes this whole narrative to be suspect. Let's move on now to the third narrative in this regard, and we are discussing narratives in which you would recall teachers of Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat are being discussed, and specifically Sulaiman ibn Mahran al-Amash and Ibn Abi Layla. So this narrative, viewers, has been recorded again by, this time it has been recorded by actually by Tahawi in his Sharh Mushkilul Asar. So the words are, قَالَ حَمْزَ مَا قَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَجُلَيْنِ Ibn إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَجُلَيْنِ Ibn Abi Layla wal-Amash. فَمَا كَانَ مِنْ حَرْفِ فَمَا كَانَ مِنْ حَرْفِ ابْنِ أَبِي لَيْلَى فَعَلَى حَرْفِ عَلِيٍّ وَمَا كَانَ مِنْ قِرَاءَةِ وَمَا كَانَ مِنْ حَرْفِ الْعَامِشِ فَعَلَى حَرْفِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَكَانَتْ قِرَاءَةُ ابْنِ أَبِي لَيْلَى أَخَذَهَا عَنْ أَخِيهِ عِيسَى وَأَخَذَهَا أَخُوهُ عِيسَى عَنْ أَبِيهِ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ ابْنِ أَبِي لَيْلَى وَأَخَذَهَا أَبُوهُ عَنْ عَلِيٍّ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. So Sulaim ibn Isa said, Hamza remarked, I read out the Quran only to Ibn Abi Layla and to Al-Amash. The reading of Ibn Abi Layla is in accordance with the reading of Ali, and the reading of Al-Amash is in accordance with Abdullah ibn Masud. And Ibn Abi Layla acquired his reading from his brother Isa, and Isa acquired it from his father Abdurrahman Ibn Abi Layla, and he acquired it from Ali. So you can see the chain of narration of this narrative being displayed before you. The problem, firstly, viewers, is the suspect nature of Sulaim ibn Isa ibn Sulaim, which we have been discussing all along. He figures here and therefore makes this narrative to be suspect. Moreover, viewers, Hamza is also giving some information which he is not likely to be contemporaneous to, and this is that whatever he read from Asim was from Ibn Masud, and whatever he read from Ibn Abi Layla was from Ali. So the fact that he is obviously not contemporaneous to Ibn Masud or to Ali themselves, both of these two Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, but he's reporting how his teachers were the students of these two companions. So this does not seem to be contemporaneous. Now let us move on to the next teachers of Hamza. We have discussed Ibn Abi Layla and Amash. So the next we shall take up Humran ibn Ayun. And Humran ibn Ayun, this narrative, viewers, is also been recorded by Ad-Dani in his Jami al-Bayan. And he says, the words are, قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا عَلِيُّ بْنُ حَمْزَى الْكَسَائِي قَالَ قُلْتُ لِحَمْزَى أَلَا مَنْ قَرَعْتَ قَالَ عَلَىٰ ابْنِ أَبِي لَيْلَى وَحُمْرَان ابْنِ عَيُّن قُلْتُ فَحُمْرَان عَلَىٰ مَنْ قَرَعَ قَالَ عَلَىٰ عُبَيْدِ ابْنِ نُزَيْلَ الْخُزَاعِي وَقَرَعَ عُبَيْد بْنُ نُزَيْلَ الْخُزَاعِي عَلَىٰ عَلْقَمَةَ وَقَرَعَ عَلْقَمَةَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم وَقَرَعَ ابْنُ أَبِي لَيْلَى عَلَىٰ مِنْهَال ابْنِ عَمْرَ وَقَرَعَ مِنْهَال عَلَىٰ سَعِيدِ ابْنِ جُبَيْرَ وَقَرَعَ سَعِيدُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسِ وَقَرَعَ ابْنُ عَبَّاسِ عَلَىٰ أُبَيِّ ابْنِ قَعْبٍ وَقَرَعَ أُبَيُّ عَلَىٰ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So Ali ibn Hamza al-Kasai said, I asked Hamza, to whom did you read out the Quran? He replied, Ibn Abi Layla and Humran ibn Ayun. I asked, to whom did Humran read out the Quran? He replied, to Ubayd ibn Nuzayla al-Khuzai, and Ubayd read out the Quran to Alkama, and Alkama read out the Quran to Abdullah, and Abdullah read out the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Ibn Abi Layla read out the Quran to Minhal ibn Amr, and Al-Minhal ibn Amr read out to Sayyid ibn Jubair, and Sayyid ibn Jubair read out to Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Abdullah ibn Abbas read out to Ubay ibn Ka'ab, and Ubay ibn Ka'ab read out to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now viewers, this chart of this narrative is also being displayed before you. The problem in this chart is the existence of Harun ibn Hatim. He is a suspect narrator. So Abu Hatim and Abu Zurrah stopped narrating from him, and when the former was asked about him, he replied, I seek God's peace. So Abu Hatim, when he was asked that, why did you stop narrating from Harun ibn Hatim, he says that, I seek God's peace from him. And of course, this is a negative remark. Now, in the opinion of a Nasai, he is Laysa Bishai. This has to be noted. Now, another further problem in this narrative, viewers, is that there is no tawseek available on Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Ali al-Khatib. And you can see that his name is being displayed before you and indicated by an arrow, and therefore we have to consign him to the Majhul category. But we also must concede that both Ibn al-Jazari and al-Zahabi mention him as an entry. So it is not the fact that he is not mentioned, but they do mention him. Two of our premier hadith books do mention him, biographical books do mention him, but no tawseek is positively mentioned. Viewers, another problem with this narrative is that Hamza has reported that Alqamah ibn Qais read out the Quran to Abdullah ibn Masud, and that Abdullah read out the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also says that Abdullah ibn Abbas read out the Quran to Ubay ibn Ka'b, and Ubay read out to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, obviously, he cannot be contemporaneous to these events. So, Hamza is reporting something. Hamza was born in 80 Hijra, as you can see. We have already discussed this earlier, and we have also seen that some of the other companions or other teachers from whom he reports, and the teachers of a teacher, the way they are reported, they cannot be contemporaneous, and hence this is another flaw, this is another shortcoming in this narrative. Now, viewers, another narrative, the next narrative that I'm going to read out again is about Humran ibn Ayun, who is regarded to be one of the teachers of Hamza. So it says, قَالَ حَدَّثَنِي الْحَسَنُ بْنُ مُحَمَّدِ بْنُ سَعِيدِ بْنُ مُحَمَّدِ بْنُ عَمَارَ بْنُ عُقْبَ قَالَ قَرَأْتُ عَلَى سُلَيْمْ عَنْ عِيسَى. And there seems to be a tashheef here. It cannot be an Isa. It has to be, the word has to be bin, Sulaym ibn Isa. So, وَقَرَأَ سُلَيْمْ عَلَى حَمْزَ وَقَرَأَ حَمْزَ عَلَى حُمْرَانِ ابْنِ أَعْيُنْ وَقَرَأَ حُمْرَانِ عَلَى بِالْأَسْفَدِ الدُّوَلِي وَقَرَأَ أَبُو الْأَسْفَدِ الدُّوَلِي عَلَى عَلِيِّ وَعُثْمَانِ وَقَرَأَ حَمْزَ أَيْضًا عَلَى ابْنِ أَبِي لَيْلَى وَقَرَأَ ابْنُ أَبِي لَيْلَى عَلَى أَخِيهِ وَقَرَأَ أُخُوهُ عَلَى أَبِيهِ عَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ وَقَرَأَ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ عَلَى عَلِيِّ ابْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَقَرَأَ حَمْزَ أَيْضًا عَلَى سُلَيْمَانِ ابْنِ مِهْرَانَ الْأَعْمَشِ وَقَرَأَ سُلَيْمَانُ ابْنُ مِهْرَانَ عَلَى يَحْيَى ابْنِ بَصَّابٍ وَقَرَأَ يَحْيَى عَلَى أَصْحَابِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ جَمَعَ وَقَرَأَ يَحْيَى أَيْضًا عَلَى زِرِ ابْنِ حُبَيْشٍ وَقَرَأَ زِرْ عَلَى عُثْمَانَ وَعَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَقَرَأَ حَمْزَ أَيْضًا عَلَى جَعْفَرِ ابْنِ مُحَمَّدٍ ابْنِ عَلِيٍّ ابْنِ الْحُسَيْنِ ابْنِ عَلِيٍّ ابْنِ أَبِي طَالِبٍ وَقَرَأَ جَعْفَرُ عَلَى أَبَائِهِ رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَقَرَأُوا عَلَى أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ. So Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn Sa'id ibn Muhammad ibn Ammara ibn Uqba said, I read out the Quran to Sulaym ibn Abi Isa al-Hanafi, and Sulaym read out to Hamza al-Zayyat, and Hamza read out to Humran ibn Ayun, and Humran read out to Abu al-Aswad, and Abu al-Aswad read out to Ali and Usman, and Hamza also read out to Ibn Abi Layla, and Ibn Abi Layla read out to his brother, and his brother read out to his father, Abdul Rahman, and Abdul Rahman read out to Ali, and Hamza also read out the Quran to Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-Amash, and Amash read out to Yahya ibn Walbasab, and Yahya read out to the companions of Abdullah in a group, and Yahya also read out to Zir ibn Hubaysh, and Zir read out to Usman and Abdullah, and Hamza also read out to Jafar ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib, and Jafar read out to his forefathers, and these forefathers to the people of Medina. So you know, we are discussing the teachers of Hamza. The narrative here describes two teachers that we've already discussed, Amash and Ibn Abi Layla, and it includes Humran ibn Ayun, the person that we are now discussing. You can see it's a chain of narration, viewers, being displayed before you in the form of a schematic illustration. Now, the problem in this is that Al-Hasan ibn Muhammad ibn Sa'id ibn Muhammad ibn Ammara ibn Uqba has not disclosed who is his informant, whose informant was with regard to Hamza's teacher and beyond. So the manner in which this narration that I've just read out, you can clearly see he's not discussed that who was his informant as far as Hamza's teachers and teachers of his teachers and beyond are concerned. Moreover, viewers, no tawseek is available on Hassan ibn Muhammad ibn Sayyid ibn Muhammad ibn Ammar ibn Uqba al-Kufi, and thus I would have to consign him to the Majhul category. It may be noted that Ibn al-Jazri mentions him. Again, Ibn al-Jazri mentions him in his Ghayat al-Nihaya. Al-Zahabi does not even mention him in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra'i al-Kibar, neither as an independent entry nor under any other entry. So we find that Zahabi in his Ma'rifat al-Qurra'i al-Kibar totally omitting him. He is not found either as an independent entry or within the corpus of his book anywhere. And viewers, we have Sawada ibn Ali as well, who you can see that he is the person who narrates from Hasan ibn Muhammad. So he is regarded as Zaif by Darqutni, and this information has been recorded by Zahabi in his Mizan al-Itidal. Viewers, now we move on to a narrative in which Ibn Abi Layla is discussed as the teacher of Hamza. And this narrative you can see is being displayed before you. It says, An Sulaym an Hamza qal, qara'tu ala ibn Abi Layla arba' marrat. So Hamza said, I read out the Quran to Ibn Abi Layla four times. So as far as this narrative is concerned, you can see that its chain of narration is being displayed before you. Now, the problem with this chain is the existence, one of the problems is the existence of Ahmad ibn Yazid al-Halawani. As you can see, that his name is present and being indicated by a red arrow. He is a suspect narrator, and the reason is that Abu Zura was not pleased with him. And obviously, another problem with this narration is the existence of Sulaym ibn Isa ibn Sulaym, who figures here, and I have discussed in detail the jar and the problems on his personality which have been raised by our worthy authorities. So therefore, this further impugns this narrative. Viewers, next move on to another narrative, and this narrative is the one in which Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Ali is regarded to be a teacher of Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyad. So the narration says, An Hamza qal, qara'tu ala Abi Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn Ali ibn Hussein ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib al-Qur'an bil Madina. Faqala, ma qara'a ala aqra'u minka, wa lastu ukhalifuka fi shay'in min hurufika illa fi ashrah ahruf. Fa inni lastu aqra'u biha wa hiya ja'izatun fil arabiyya. Qala Hamza, faqultu, جعلت فداك أخبرني فيما تخالفني قال أنا أقرأ والأرحام نسبا وأقرأ يبشر مشددا وأقرأ حتى تفجر مشددا وحرام على قرية بألف ويتناجون بألف وما أنتم بمصرخية بالفتح وسلام على الياسين مقطوع وهم آل محمد مكر السيء بالخفص وأزهر اللام عند الطاء والصاء والسين وأفتح الواو من ولدا في القرآن كله هكذا قرأ علي رضي الله عنه قال حمزة فهممت عن أرجع عنها وخبرت أصحابي. So Hamza said, I read out the Quran to Muhammad ibn Ja'far ibn Ali at Medina. He said to me, no one has read out the Quran to me in a better manner than you. I would not differ with you in any recital except in 10 of them. I do not read them the way you read them, though they are allowed in Arabic. I said, may I be sacrificed for you? Let me know the recitals in which you differed with me. So he said, I read out wal-arham with a nasab on meem, which means al-harhama, yubashsharu with a tashdeed on sheen, and hatta tufajjara tufajjira with a tashdeen on jim, then haramun ala qariyatin with an alif in haramun, so it was not harama, it was haramun, and then yatana jaunaf with alif in this, and wama anta musrikhiyya with a fath on ba. Therefore, it would be read ba musrikhiyya, and salamun ala il yasin with alif lam severed as ale yasin. So il yasin would become ale yasin, and they are actually ale Muhammad. It's just an explanation. Then makar as-sayyi with a khaft in the hamza al wasl, izhar in atta atta as-sin, fath on vav of walada at every instance in the Quran. This is how Ali read the Quran. Hamza said, I have decided to change my reading at these instances and bring it in accordance with yours. So this was the difference that he actually saw in his teacher. And he said, I decided that I'll change it and bring it in accordance with yours and inform my companions also about this thing, and I shall now follow you. That is what he said. Now, the problem here is that, viewers, as you can see that his chart is being displayed before you, that there is no tawseek available on Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn al-Husayn ibn Abi Talib and Abdullah ibn Baraza al-Hasib. Both, you can see, viewers, are being indicated before you with an arrow, but there is no tawseek available on either of them, and therefore we have to consign him to the majhul category. It may further be noted that neither Ibn al-Jazri nor al-Zahabi mentioned them as independent entries in their own books. So neither Ibn al-Jazri in his Ghayatul Nihaya nor al-Zahabi in his Ma'rifatul Qurra al-Kibar mention him as an independent entry. Similarly, viewers, another problem is that there is no tawseek available on Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn Ali and Ali ibn al-Husayn ibn Silm, as you can see, that they are their names are also being indicated. So therefore, we'll have to consign them to the category of Majhul. Now, it may be noted that Ibn al-Jazari mentions both of them as independent entries. So as far as Ibn al-Jazari is concerned, he mentions both of them. But Zahabi does not even mention either of them as an independent entry in his Ma'rifatul Qurra al-Kibar. But again, the bottom line here is that there is no tawseek reported in either of these two books. And also, viewers, you can see the suspect person, Sulaym ibn Isa, he is also present, and I have referred to the jar on him earlier on in this talk. And you see, it seems that it is perhaps because of all these details that Az-Zahabi has expressed his doubts on the chain of this narration of this narrative, on the isnad of this narrative, and he says, fi sihat sanadihi nazar. So he's not entirely convinced that this isnad is of reliable nature. So, viewers, I will end my talk here, and we will continue the discussion on the teachers of Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyad. They still remain in the next episode before we finalize his stature and his nature. So, we have discussed four of his teachers today: Ibn Abi Layla, Sulaiman ibn Mahran al-Amash. And then we have discussed Humran ibn Ayun, and finally we have discussed Ja'far ibn Muhammad ibn Ali. So viewers, inshallah, we'll take up the discussion regarding his remaining teachers in the next episode. Until then, أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.